It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. If you're keeping score, Spain is making their way in to the Olympic Arena in Brazil. I understand the athletes are very excited to be there. It's an amazing opportunity, and you know, they've worked their entire lives. But put the phones down. It's a million phones. Every athlete's got a phone, like they're Facebook Living or they're keeping it for, you know, their own. They're gonna put it on Instagram. But come on, like at least I give Micronesia some credit. No phones. 9 athletes, no phones. That's how I would do my Olympics. You know, the Micronesia coach is like, hey, put it away, turn it off, savor the moment. The Spain coach is like, oh man, let's get this up on Twitter, Instagram, social media, España Facebook.
They're very connected over there. I was over there, yeah. Maybe they'll get the signals in Micronesia.
I think they do. I think that I believe Micronesia, they're like, yo, man, we got so much technology. There's so much technology, but the coach is like, live in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? He stopped everyone. This is what I think happened. In the tunnel, they're like, Micronesia. He's like, stop. Put your phones away. Live in the moment. You'll never forget this moment. Let's do it. And then they came out. United States of America coming out now. Michael Phelps holding the flag. He doesn't have a phone, see?
Yeah. Well, he's got both hands on the flagpole, too. So.
Looking good. Not too many phones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they did the same thing. Maybe the U.S. coach was like, guys, put away the phones.
Good outfits.
See if they show the men's basketball team. I would assume that Jimmy Butler and the is in this... this crew. I don't have the sound on, so I don't know if they're actually getting booed.
Uh-oh. Sailed the cruise ship up.
right. All right. So the Olympics are continuing. They're doing the March of Countries right now, the United States of America. So they're getting close to Brazil, who I believe is last, right? Even though that's out of alphabetical order. So total cheat. But they're last because they're the home country.
Closing act.
They're the closing act.
Yeah, big
that's
main
right.
act.
We'll see if they're on their phones.
Yeah.
All right. In studio with me, Louisa Chu. How are you? Good to see you.
Good, Justin. How are you?
I'm good. Chicago Tribune food reporter and half of the podcast Chewing, which you can find at the Chicago Tribune site, and a frequent guest here on The Download. Monica Eng is on vacation.
Yep.
Much needed vacation. She said she would call. Well, you know what? We have the heart and soul here, Louisa.
Oh, all right,
so we're going to talk about your newest podcast that just came out, which is really focused on the south side of Chicago.
Yes.
And then we're also going to talk about this big issue, which I think is an issue that's been in restaurants for a while now. But Jason Vincent from Giant, Jason Vincent, who was on our program, we talked about starting this restaurant, kind of went to Facebook in the last 2 weeks and said, you know what? I'm getting burned by people not showing up for their reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, am I, as a restaurateur, a small business operator, someone who doesn't have a lot of tables in his Logan Square restaurant.
Yeah.
Can I charge somebody? Should I charge somebody when they don't show up for their reservation?
Right.
This caused a little bit of a firestorm.
Yeah. Well, actually, it was a really hot commented thread on his Facebook. And I mean, it's actually a public thread, so you can go and check it out. So Jason Vincent, as most people who listen to your interview with him, which they can listen to on the podcast as well, know that he's, you know, was previously the chef in Knightwood, now open Giant in Logan Square, 40 seats. And even though Logan Square is a really hot neighborhood, I mean, it's kind of a quiet strip that he's on in Armitage. So again, 40 seats is nothing in the restaurant business.
And he
right
chose,
now.
They chose it. We talked about it and he said, we chose to do that. I didn't want to have this huge sprawling restaurant.
Right. And he posts on his own personal Facebook page over this past weekend asking if basically for suggestions from his colleagues, from everybody.
Right.
Should he charge a no-show? And he was so upset and concerned about it. And I was thinking, wow, like how much is their no-show fee, you know? And so I, being the... you know,
the reporter,
that
the investigative
reporter
that you are.
Got on my computer on the internets and tried to, you know, started a reservation on, went to the Giant website, started a reservation and I'm like, wow, how much was this fee that he's like so fretting over, right? How much?
$20 $20.
$20.
So if I don't go, if I make a reservation for Giant, which I do have one coming up in the next couple weeks here, so, and I don't go, he's going to charge me $20.
Well, here's the thing, is that if you change or cancel your reservation 24 hours before.
Like a dentist.
Right. Much better. Like a way better experience than a dentist, you know. And they give you like three levels of like, hey, hello, please be aware of this, you know. And that if you change or cancel within 24 hours, they may charge you. Actually, they couch language saying like they may charge you $20 a person, right? And you're thinking, I'm going to go because I really want to go to this restaurant, hot new restaurant, great. Like every single thing I've ever eaten by him has been amazing. And so it's like pretty reasonable. So, however, like, you know, even though a lot of people jump in and say, like, oh, the guys, that, you know, whoever it was, didn't show up, was a jerk, blah, blah, things happen.
Yeah, let's talk about this because there has been, I mean, you said it's a spirited comment thread, to say the least.
Yeah, like 100 comments.
A lot of the comments were no way. They were, let's say, it's unethical to charge somebody. That is an unwritten contract, essentially, that says, you know, we're going to reserve a table for you because you've chosen our restaurant. But it's not a binding contract that says that if I don't show up for that quote-unquote reservation, I should be charged. Right. And there, people will come back and say, okay, well, it was a rainy night. And I don't have a car.
Right.
I had three reservations, or I had too many people that were in the party, so I went somewhere else. I mean, there's a lot of different things that happened. I was
exactly.
sick.
Yeah. Well, what was really interesting is that a lot of people that commented on this thread, which like 100 comments, were restaurant professionals here in Chicago who said, you can't charge. You know, you shouldn't charge, really. It's just like what you do. And they suggested maybe if he could say, hey, instead of charging you, I'm going to charge you, but send you like the same amount in gift certificates so you'll come back. And that's what I thought was just really amazing and fascinating, that the fact that Jason is like sweating $20. You know, I mean, I don't know how big the party was, you know, and that so many restaurant professionals here in Chicago are saying like, you know, don't do it. Even though it's like on the reservation page,
it says
like three times.
We will charge you.
Yeah. And that's, I just think, really telling about how the culture here is in Chicago, because other places
may do it, right?
Will do it.
New York
for sure.
is like, I'm doing
exactly,
it.
Exactly. So fast.
Well, I want to hear what you have to say, Download Nation. Would you be okay with being charged a no-show fee for a reservation, $20, $40, the price of a meal? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Because I see it both ways. I mean, Jason's got a small business in Logan Square, and it's not like people are standing in line outside to take that reservation. But at the same time, you know what? This is a business that is based on customer service.
Yeah.
And it's a business that the customer's always right. And you kind of have to deal with the fact that the customer may not show up.
Well, and actually, they may not be physically standing in line there because, you know, even though it's a hot neighborhood, but they may have been standing in line online. You know, I mean, because I read in that common thread, too. People, it shows sold out. You know, I want to go reserve, and there's certain times that are sold out.
Right.
And so, and again, actually, $20 has not even come close to covering me, even though his prices are pretty reasonable. I mean, you lose a table for
absolutely.
A night.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like, how does a small business in Chicago survive if people are, you know, short attention span? And I'm not saying, and again, not to blame, not to judge, you know, that it's like this person necessarily had short attention span or just blew it off. Something may have happened.
But you know what? I will blame and judge.
Yeah,
let's
you
say,
will,
let's, I mean, but that is the, I mean, there is a little sort, I mean, I would say that's almost the deal. Meaning, yes, I want to come, I'm going to reserve this chair, and I'm going to pay you $150 or whatever Jason's charging with wine and food and everything. And if I can't go, you're not going to get the money. It's because we didn't have that transactional service.
Right.
So I wonder if this is a larger conversation, and we're having it.
Yeah.
Is about the idea that we've seen Nick Kokonis and others try to change the way restaurant reservations work because it just doesn't work at the end of the day.
Well, it does for some. And actually, that was a conversation that too was in the thread. So as a lot of people might know about Tock, which is a Chicago, and you had Nick on as well, Chicago-based reservation service, which actually sells tickets to restaurants like you would to a play or a movie now. Remember?
Right.
Like the old days, you could just go show up in a movie. I mean, but, you know, I mean, it's, and so the deal with that is that you buy the ticket to the restaurant, and if you can't make it, you know, whatever, it's your job to go and resell that ticket somewhere that you can't just call up and cancel. It's sold. It's done. It's a done deal. Hmm. And so, you know, as far as the $20, I mean, I think that somebody who went through the effort of making the reservation, entering in all your credit card information, you know, I mean, you know what the deal is. I think that.
And that's new, too. The idea that they're I mean, all right, keep going.
No. I mean, I think that the kind of person who would want to go there, I think they would be okay with it. Like I said, I thought it was very interesting that Jason was so thoughtful about the whole situation and that so many people in the restaurant business in Chicago, that's how they would handle it. I think I might have another solution, though.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll get to that solution after the break here. 312-981-7200. The texts are coming in. People are on the line. I want to hear from you guys what you think about the idea of getting charged for not showing up for a reservation. That's what we're talking about here with Louisa Chu, Chicago Tribune food reporter. On the download, stay with us. Here's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, Louisa Chu from Chicago Tribune, food reporter in studio with me. Also, her podcast, Chewing, her and Monica Eng as well, is a new episode is out coming
yes,
to the South Side.
On the South Side.
And we'll talk about that this hour. And you can find that. The podcast is also at the Chicago Tribune.
Yep. Just go to the Chicago Tribune dining page, chicagotribune.com/dining.
Okay. So we're talking about restaurants, reservations, and whether or not you should be charged if you don't show.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you cancel within a small period of time, meaning if it's like an hour before or 2 hours
yeah.
before. I don't know. I feel like I mean, that's something that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, okay, I'm not going to dinner right now. I just, the idea that, I don't know. There's part of me that I feel, I'm feeling myself right now. That sounded gross.
Okay.
But
all right.
I would say that I'm going in the direction. I'm feeling like, you know what? I don't like the system that says I have to get charged if I don't go to dinner.
Right.
You know, like I'm not a big fan of that. I feel like at a certain point, you know what? That's just a game that's been set up and there wasn't actual a transaction. So why should
wow.
I be changed?
Money?
That's just let's try other people. Let's see. 312-981-7200 is the number. Monica, you're on the line. What's your thought on this?
Well, I have no problem if they would want to charge me because I do always cancel when I have to cancel. Just because they're running a business and if you have plans to meet somebody, you show up. However, I would want the same assurance from them that if I show up for my 8 o'clock reservation and my table isn't sitting there waiting for me, I would like $20 a person.
There you go. A lot of $20 bills rolling around now. You're right, Monica.
Or whatever. I think that's only fair. Just the same way I sent a doctor a bill once for quadruple booking and keeping me waiting an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
Can I use your services, Monica? Can you help me in situations like that? I got a washing machine problem.
But happy to.
Right.
But
thanks,
Monica.
Monica.
But you know, but I appreciate Monica's point. But again, like the doctor situation, it's not depending on necessarily the restaurant, but the other customers and the other patients. So, like, I totally understand. I don't want to be waiting an hour and a half either. But do we then penalize the business if somebody's just hanging out there?
Charge them for hanging out too long.
Exactly.
Put a timer
Hand
on it.
Them a
See,
bill.
It's a slippery slope. It's not unlike regulation, these Democrats with their regulation.
Right, exactly. But what we could do as hospitality professionals, because, you know, I grew up in the restaurant business.
Oh,
and,
here we go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And so what you could do in that sort of situation is you can make nice. I mean, it's pretty easy. You send somebody out a drink. You send somebody out, a snack, something that appreciates, like, say, I'm really sorry. It's not our fault. But we're really sorry this is happening, mm-hmm. and we really appreciate you hanging out there. And these days now, a lot of places, especially in Logan Square, you can send them to someplace else, like nearby, and say, hey, have a drink on us. We'll text you as soon as we're ready.
That's true.
That happens all the time.
All right, let's try Julie. Julie, you're on the line. Julie, what are you thinking on this issue of charging for missing reservations?
You know, I get it. I'm lifelong in the restaurant business as well, from fine dining to all kinds of restaurants. I completely get it. And this is a small restaurant with probably no more than a dozen tables if it's 40 seats. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the margins are very small. At the end of the day, though, and by the way, I agree with the restaurateur. He should be able to charge. But here's why I would say avoid it if you can. Because at the end of the day, in our business, what you don't want is you don't want any customer, for whatever reason, talking negatively about your business.
Right.
And if you get charged, you bet your bottom dollar they're going to tell some friends about it, and it's going to be negative sort of publicity on your restaurant. And so what I would suggest is maybe some other creative ways of doing this. So as an example, let's say that he has, I don't know, 12 tables in his restaurant. Don't reserve all 12. Reserve 8.
Yeah.
And then have the others some as walk-ins. First come, first serve.
Yeah.
Do a wait list and tell people that, you know what, at 3 o'clock the day of, if we have any availability, we'll give you a call, or feel free to check back with us tomorrow between 3 and 5. We may have a table open up, okay? And so there's creative ways. The other thing that I would do is, because I ran a fine dining restaurant at Ravinia, and we had a few members that were notorious for canceling at the last minute. And these were on sold out shows. And so, you know what? So basically what I did was, when these people made reservations, if they called for a reservation on a night that I knew was going to be a busy packed night, mm-hmm. I would tell them that I'm actually full that evening, but let me put you on a wait list in case I have a table.
Oh, they got blacklisted.
I wouldn't risk, you know, so the people handling reservations at this restaurant could, you know, could keep a list going internally of phone numbers or names of people that have canceled.
Yeah, now you're getting all Senator McCarthy on us. Like, I feel like
I would. It's a business. You know, it's a business.
You're but right. Okay.
If you go to Stephanie Isert's place, if you go to the Girl and the Goat, for example, they take reservations. Good luck getting a reservation 2 months from now. However, they do have a section in the bar mm-hmm. area that is either, like, it's a communal table, or you can sit at the bar. That's first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. And so this might be a suggestion here, you know, that I think could be managed appropriately. Another place I used to work with, we used to overbook by a certain amount of tables because
no.
we knew that every night, especially on the weekends, we would get 3 or 4 no-shows. And so
the we overbook.
Yeah, we overbooked.
Interesting.
You
See,
know? So,
I like it, though. I like what you're saying. Thank you, Julie. Thank you for that. I that's another thing that, I mean, now you get into the game where restaurants are protecting themselves or overbooking, but what if everybody shows up?
Julie. So one thing is that Jason does reserve some tables for walk-ins and says so okay. on their website and his, you know, his social media. And that's what a lot of restaurants do, even the ones that sell tickets like Talk, you know, I mean,
yeah,
they have this, they can set aside a certain percentage. And the tricky thing, though, and trust me, a lot of these, I mean, all these reservation systems, they're all about the data. And so they have all of those things. I mean, it's like everyone's, exactly. It's like, you know, if you reserve through OpenTable, you don't show up. It's like, hey, how come you didn't show up? Or how come, you know, like you canceled?
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
We had Kevin Bayman here from Boca.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that they go as far as to they know all about you.
Absolutely.
Coming in. They're like, they're
yeah.
playing, they're playing music in the house.
That's a little
like if
creepy.
if you're a big
yeah.
timer,
mm-hmm. right.
They're like, they're throwing a little, like mm-hmm. your favorite song on while you're eating.
That's very creepy, actually.
Let's go to Marianne.
Yeah.
Let's go to Marianne. Marianne, what do you think? You make a reservation, you can't go. Should you be charged?
No way. I was in the restaurant business my whole life, and let me tell you what. Logan Square, downtown Chicago. There are so many restaurants to go to that if you want to go out to dinner and they're going to charge you, then you know what. Then they're gonna lose. I think they're gonna lose business. I mean, again, you're gonna get clientele who may not care if they get charged, but that's not the average person. And like I said, there's too many restaurants in this world to be having to pay a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to a doctor's appointment where you have, you know, you need specific care. You know, you
some
go
might
to a
say
doctor.
That the wine list is specific care.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you've ever had his crispy pig ears. So
thank you.
Like I said, I've managed restaurants for years, and from fine dining to casual dining. And let me tell you what, it's all how you treat your
yeah,
customers.
Yeah, right on.
And you know what? And if these restaurants that do take reservations and it takes months for people to get in there, well, then people need to, they know they need to make reservations months out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Marianne.
You know. And, all right, thanks.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think that the resolution was basically that bottom line was, like I was saying, it's like everybody saying, you know, it's not the Chicago restaurant culture. Don't charge. Get in touch. If you're going to charge anything, give him a credit to the restaurant, you know. So, I mean, to be clear, he really, like I said, sweated this whole thing, and I'm guessing he did not charge.
And to be honest, I mean, even beyond Jason's issue, this is an issue that's been out there before. I mean, obviously what Nick Kokonis did with Talk, or promoting Talk, and and even what I want to talk about, we'll take a quick break here, but the idea that some restaurants, trendy or untrendy, they've gone away from reservations. They feel like this is the bane of their existence, and they can't figure it out, so they say first come, first serve. We see it with Au Cheval in the West Loop, which is a three-hour wait to get in there, but they don't, and they're pretty strict. You can't walk in there and even cloud up. I've tried.
I don't know. I'll tell you about my experience during Burger Month. Yeah.
They're like, oh, the Tribune's got some clout.
No way.
But my point being that, like, they're a restaurant that just said, you know what? Like, we're just not dealing with it across the board. So there are options. We'll continue the conversation. 312-981-7200. Keep your thoughts coming. Call and text, and we will continue with Louisa Chu here, Chicago Tribune food reporter, and her podcast, Chewing, that she does with Monica Eng, which can be found at Chicago Tribune. Stay with us. All right, we'll continue the conversation of charging people if they don't show up to reservations.
What?
Hey, there it is. See, Martyr's on my side.
Absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
This is the conversation. Like, are there are some small businesses, boutique kind of restaurants, that are looking to charge people $20-$25 if you blow off a reservation? Like, if you don't call in advance, like a dentist office, like a doctor's appointment.
Was like Ted Knight standing there from Caddyshack?
Exactly.
Well, we're waiting. Come on. Give me a break.
You said you didn't show up.
All right. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Louisa Chu, half of the Chewing podcast. You guys are on. I would say that you and Monica are on. We call you regulars.
I hope so. Yeah.
All right, good. I wanted to make sure that was legit.
No.
Regular contributors here to the download. Louisa, of course, a food reporter for the Chicago Tribune. You can find Chewing Podcast, the newest one, at the Chicago Tribune website. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested. Let's talk about that real quick. The South Side episode. Why the South Side episode? Why an episode of Chewing on the South Side?
You know, I ended up finding some really great food, basically, on the South Side. You know, we recently had Burger Month, and Monica had done a story where she was trying to find Chicago-made food. And they seem to be, like, so unknown in Chicago. There's, like, this... I'm sure you know, there's like this invisible like curtain on areas that are the South Side, actually not even South, like maybe just like West Side, and people like never go there, like the Big Baby cheeseburger, double cheeseburger. So we're doing this, you know, whole month of cheeseburgers, and it's like, why is there not a Chicago style cheeseburger? And
yeah, right,
half of the city says yeah, there is. It's called the Big Baby. And so I just thought it was so funny. And you know, so one of my friends, Dr. Peter Engler, who is a research scientist who studied this, actually his work was in genetics, but he studied the burger for like 15 years, and he's like, yeah, no, everybody, especially like around Midway Airport, totally knows about it. So I think it's kind of a symbol, actually.
Isn't that interesting, regionally, when we think about delicacies or just, you know, types of food, where even in the city of Chicago, there can be pockets that are like, I know this food in and out. You know what I think about is in Springfield has the horseshoe sandwich.
Yes.
And that's something that only up till maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I'd never heard of.
Yeah.
And then they'd said, it's a horseshoe. And I ordered it at some bar, and I was like, this is, oh my God, what am I doing?
Right.
This is crazy.
I can understand maybe like geography sort of saying like Springfield's a little bit farther, but the South Side, I mean, basically the elephant in the room is that a lot of people from the North Side don't think of going down to the South Side, which isn't even that far, because of a lot of stereotypes about the South Side.
Yeah,
so this is kind of, you know, this is something that we're all familiar with, this Big Baby double cheeseburger. So I wrote about that. And then Monica actually also then hit a lot of the like the classic South Side specialties too, with a couple of her friends, including one of ours, Natalie Moore, who wrote the book The South Side.
Right. She was on the program.
And so, you know, I just think it's fascinating that we even have that segregation when it comes to food, when it comes to a cheeseburger. So we talk about that.
What a What a travesty.
It is.
Cheeseburger segregation.
No, exactly. Exactly. But it's got a fascinating history, and talk about that. And I went to visit one of the best places that makes it, Nikki's Hot Dogs at the corner of Archer and Austin.
Mm.
Makes a classic, historic Big Baby double cheeseburger.
I'm into it, man. I love the double cheeseburger here in Chicago. So the Big Baby.
Big Baby.
That's
all right. 815 says, I suggest that restaurants only commit 80% of their seating space for reservations. We talked about that. 773 says, a competitor could make reservations, then be a no-show. Yes, it charged 20 for reservations for four more people. 20 per reservation, not per person. I don't know. That's like espionage.
You know, actually, like, you know what? I think that you're, now that I remember the details, I think that that is right. I think the qualification was 20.
Per reservation.
Which is nothing.
It's still something.
Well, relatively, you're right. It's still something.
312 says,
nothing.
As far as a contract, it's a matter of the level of ethical responsibility. Running a restaurant's an orchestrated art.
Yeah.
So I think they're with, Making a reservation is a contract. Look it up. It's not a strong one, but it's an agreement that the restaurant will hold a table for you. Your honor of said contract is to fill that seat.
Mm-hmm.
then he insults me.
Oh.
Take a business course. Classic.
In your spare time.
In my spare time.
Yeah, all your spare time.
Let's go to Debbie. Debbie, what do we like? What's your thought on this?
My thing is, what if it's Mother's Day and or Thanksgiving? You know, it's a really big time, and the restaurants have to have that reservation come in at a certain time.
Yeah.
So they should get billed for that. Or what if they stay, you know, double their reservation?
Right.
So
right.
The next table is waiting and waiting. So, you know, my brother has a restaurant, and he says, you know, on the reservation, you agreed that you will leave within 2 hours.
Ooh.
But then, how do you make them leave?
Yeah.
Bouncer?
Right.
Yeah, you can't make them leave. You can, like, you know, they won't pay the bill. You don't give them any more coffee. You don't serve them anymore, but they're going to still stay. And it's just so rude.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Thanks, Debbie. You know, and I think that it is a slippery slope. To be honest, I mean, you start to get into those questions like, okay, as the one person said, I mean, Monica, I think it was, who said it, this idea that, if I'm going to make a contract for a table, what on the restaurant side is their part of the bargain?
Well, and again, it's not only the restaurant and it's other diners. And, you know, these are conversations that have been had for a very, very long time. And so what some restaurants will do is approach the table. Say I'm sitting there, I lose track of time because I'm catching up with all my cousins or something. And the restaurant come up to you and say, like, hey, we really so appreciate your business. We've got another reservation coming in. Can we move you someplace else and, like, give you another drink or something? You know, I mean, or just take the rest of whatever you're still eating, you know, working on dessert that you haven't touched yet because you're just, like, laughing away. These are conversations I've had for a long time.
I know.
You
should do it my style.
Oh, dear.
What I do is when they come up and say, you've been here too long, I reach into my pocket, I pull out cash, I just throw it at them. I just all my loose bills at them, and I'm like, hey, I'm staying here. I own this place now. Very Donald Trumpian of me.
There we go. There we go. Yeah.
I've never done that in my life. Could you imagine that?
No.
Pull out just, here, I'm talking.
Just
I'll eat my cheesecake on my time.
You just prefer a fistful of change, you know, coins, so it rolls away, like, you know.
606 says a $20 fee is BS. That they would even consider doing this tells me that I would go elsewhere. They're only interested in the dollar.
They are not.
630 says restaurants, people need to start taking responsibility for their actions. Although the reservation you made no longer fits your schedule, the restaurant still needs to they ended up holding up their end of the bargain, so you owe them. Reservations are an agreement. Keeps going on. You tell me you show up for a reservation at a restaurant and they tell you it'll be a 2-hour wait. You get upset. It's fairness, and I'm for restaurants charging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. That's from Vic from Wooddale.
Yeah.
I'm you know, I go back and forth, and I was feeling one way, and I'm letting the listeners kind of sway me one way or the other.
Just like, you know, carried along like a little wave.
Why not?
You know? Well,
smart people. They tell me what's up.
I might put out there again just to have the conversations, you know, and like a possible solution. I said I might offer a possible solution.
Okay, what's that solution?
You know, and again, even though Chicago restaurant culture, basically, we don't normally charge, but we've come to a point in our lives, in our history, social culture, where it's like we can say, hey, okay, we kind of like we're used to paying everything for hotels and airlines and things like that. We basically say one more step. If you don't show up after 15 minutes, you know, you get a grace period. We're going to have to assume that you're not going to show up and we will give you a credit to the restaurant and then your table will be released.
Oh, okay.
After
what's
that.
The credit? Like $20 credit?
Exactly.
So it's just so, like, so next time you get $20 off. Or
exactly. Because we really do want
so
you to
So it forces
come
you to come back.
It doesn't force you. It invites. Right. It's an invitation, Justin. There's no forcing.
I feel like it might be time to get rid of reservations entirely. We talked about this before the break. What is the hold up on that?
Well, it is because there, you know, as we were saying, Chicago's become a very competitive restaurant culture. And so it is small businesses. And so the restaurant food that you're getting in certain places is not like you're just going to throw another cheeseburger, you know, on the grill. It's a little more complex. You put a lot of investment into preparing for those dinners. I mean, and it's, you know, like we were saying, there are restaurants like, say, Au Cheval in the West Loop where you can make a reservation. You might have to wait 3 hours, or like me, you get lucky and get a 5-minute
table. Well, here it comes.
No, it was lucky. No favoritism whatsoever. I just got lucky, and I was very willing to wait. But that's a whole different situation. They don't have necessarily the same kind of intense prep that goes into a slightly, even though it's casual, a slightly finer dining restaurant.
I just wonder. I mean, I'm not a big fan of taking a system, an antiquated system in my mind, and then saying, since it's broken, we will also charge you on top of it. I just feel at a certain point I would rather the restaurant gods among us get together for the restaurant constitutional convention. And they come up with a new system. I like when Nick Kokonis at least trying the ticketed system, but they do something that says, you know what, let's upgrade this because this is an epidemic, if it is, and people aren't showing up for reservations, so we need to change it.
Well, I don't necessarily think that it's an epidemic. I think in certain kinds of restaurants, it tends to happen a little bit more than others. And again, in a place like Logan Square, where you do have higher rents, but you can, say, open a smaller restaurant the way like Jason did. And we're using Jason as an example, even though, you know, there's a lot of other restaurants that do the same thing.
He's an example because he brought it up for the restaurant giant. He's actually getting promotion out of this because we said the restaurant giant.
There you go.
12 times.
Yeah. And it's a restaurant I'm looking forward to going to as well. And so, you know.
I'm
going to
cancel my reservation just to see what happens. No, I'm not going to cancel. I'm just going to show up.
Right. There
Jason,
you go.
You heard me.
Exactly.
No, I'm
joking. You know, you could try to cancel within 24 hours and then you'll still
I'm going to do it like I do with a doctor. I'm like, you're not going to believe what just happened. Maybe I'll do in the comment section.
Great.
Like with only 8 hours to go and see if I can get out of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not going to believe my day.
Yeah. The excuse. Yeah. So, but, you know, I don't necessarily think it's an update. There's lots of restaurants that are thriving, and you'll see in that comment thread too, there are other restaurants, like, say, for example, Big Jones, that still goes by a more, you know, classic system. And it just really depends so much on where you are. And I think that actually the charging is a fix to a solution. It's an evolution, maybe not necessarily a complete fix, but I think that, again, we can evolve and have conversations. Like, whatever happened to, like, picking up the phone or texting or whatever?
Well, I mean,
conversation.
Is this a byproduct of the way we are communicating, where everything is done online? You can go to OpenTable, you can go to the website, and you're clicking a button, and you're not putting as much social currency into the reservation.
It very well could be. Having said that, sometimes there's like the only time you can think of, like for me, I kind of feel like the only time I have time to do personal stuff, like make a personal reservation, is when places aren't open, you know?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
So the best time, best way to do that is, you know, online. And that's okay. But it's like if you can't do it, to have a conversation. I think that sometimes what's unfortunate, and again, is that, you know, oh, yeah, no, it's terrible. Oh, so you can just not show and then take the food out of young Jason Vincent's daughter's mouth. That's okay, right? Is that right? Is that
I think
okay
the
with
art
you?
The art of the conversation for a reservation has been lost. Like, I'm a big fan of, like, putting on a character when I call. I do when they call and they go, Giant, I go, hey, how you doing? listen, what you got for two at 6 o'clock? Like something right. like that, you know, where you just real cheer. Hey, listen, I'm looking for something 8 o'clock. What do you got for 3?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do 8:30? I'm like, you know what? Let's just split the difference. Let's do 8:15.
Dear.
See, that's that we're missing that. No, and I know all the hosts in Chicago love it. They're like, oh man, he's so good.
And actually that is one of the big things too, is that a lot of people can't even afford to have people answer the phone for reservations anymore. You know, I mean, you have people like yourself, perhaps, just like spending people's hours and hours.
I do like
years
to, I
of
do,
their lives.
I do give them a whole thing. I'm a big time player. And listen, are you still there?
You want certain music playing when you roll
listen,
in.
This is a big night for me and my honey.
Right. There
okay.
You go.
If you can when you put the ring in the old sorbet. No. I think this is a great conversation. We should continue it at some point because I do think there's. A lot of people here that are still 7708 says, no, I would not pay a reservation fee. I see his point about the cost and inconvenience as a delivery driver. Occasionally you have to walk through spider web or a bunch of spider webs on the way to someone's front door and you got to do it. You know
what?
That's his point.
Okay. I delivered as a young child and never walked through spider webs. I don't know why.
Yeah. But, well, maybe it's a spider
dramatic.
Webs. Well, maybe we're just done with the conversation.
No. Scary kitty cats.
All right, Louisa, the Southside episode is up.
Yes.
And you can find it at the Tribune's website.
ChicagoTribune.com.
What's the next
dining? We're going to be on hiatus for the month of August, but we're going to be putting out possibly some specials because we have, right now, we're in the height of farmer's market season now. And so I brought you a delicious surprise.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, this is the famed segment of your podcast, which
right.
is Will She Eat It?
Yeah. It's a little game that my co-host Monica Eng and I like to play called Will She Eat It?
Right.
So usually it's, you know, thematic related, not always. And she usually tries to bring me something that will, I think, significantly poison me.
I saw somewhere the last time she brought a gas station hot dog.
Yeah.
From
that was from
Texas.
The South Side episode. Yes.
Was it?
Yes. And it was, I don't even think it qualified, quite frankly, Justin, because it was like she brought it from Mississippi.
Yeah, that's what
one.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. That's not a South Side specialty, okay?
I guess it's South.
Yeah.
I don't know about South Side.
Please.
But, all right. And then you brought in the egg, the weird egg, the 200 or 100 year old egg last time. That was gross.
Well, actually, early in this season, it was for our egg episode. It was one of the Chinese 1,000 year old eggs.
1,000 year old egg.
Not really a 1,000 year old egg. But it looked like a dragon, looked like a Game of Thrones egg, you know, with like clear green outside, and the inside was black and sludgy. But that tasted okay.
It was all right. It was
yeah,
all right.
It just tasted. It looked really bad.
It looked bad.
It did. I'll
you
admit that.
You get thrown
that.
Off by the years.
Exactly.
All right, what do you got tonight?
I got something that looks bad too.
Oh no!
So I posted this. Actually, we posted this on our Tribune Food and Dining page. So for farmers. Market month. I am doing all sorts of stories about corn coming up, like Sheffy corn. And so one of the things I actually found at the local Cermak Fresh Market by my store, by my house, is wheat lecoche. Do you know wheat lecoche?
Wheat lecoche, no.
Yeah. So it's also known as corn smut. And it is it's a delicacy in Mexican cuisine.
Okay.
And so what happens is that regular ears of corn, and actually usually this is like organic corn because it only grows on corn that hasn't been treated. This is a new product, a new company called Oro Negro Cuitlacoche. It's grown by a scientist, actually, up outside of Madison. And so do you want to describe what this looks like,
So it looks like
a
piece of corn, like an actual ear of corn.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But it's blackened, and it looks moldy.
Yes, exactly. And so it's actually fungus. And not only that, but some of the kernels, they are like engorged and enlarged. And so this is a delicacy. What's really rare about this is one of the... This is actually the only fresh ear of wheat lecoche that you can buy locally, commonly now, is found in the Chicagoland market.
Hmm.
So this is a big deal. It just came out. And this particular ear was picked last week. So I'm going to offer you the corn smut.
All right, let's do it.
Justin.
And we'll put the corn smut up on the Instagram page.
Okay.
WGN Instagram page.
Pass this over to you, Justin.
So what is this? This is it?
Mm-hmm. So that is. Man. Oh yeah. So that is what. Here, I'll show you the whole ear.
Pete.
So each kernel, they kind of like grossly misshapen and black and fuzzy. Like seriously, you don't. I was thinking.
Don't
leaving.
Eat it. Did you just
no,
say don't
no,
eat
no.
It?
I said no. I'm going to offer. Don't eat it. I'm going to offer it to you, Justin.
All right.
Will you eat it?
Yes, I'm going to eat it.
All right.
So do I just eat the whole thing?
You can eat it the whole thing. You can eat. The,
man.
You can eat it raw.
Live.
As yeah. For
you
salad.
Can eat it raw.
Yes, you can. Yes, okay. You can eat it raw.
I'm just making sure I'm not missing the rules. As I, you know, I'm running a radio show. I don't want to be like, don't eat that.
No,
and then you know, I get sick for the next.
Yes,
hour.
You can eat it raw right. Safely. It's also cooked. So Justin is going
all right,
to
here
eat
we go. Here
the
we go.
Fresh cuitlacoche.
Cuitlacoche.
Crispy, crunchy. I can hear that crunch. Mm-hmm. What's that flavor like there?
It's like dirty fresh corn.
Dirty fresh corn.
But it's like salad. It feels like it's a little bit lettucey, like moldy lettuce.
Okay.
But in a good way, like it's crunchy.
Okay. Do you get any mushroomy mm-hmm. notes, kind of truffly notes in there?
Yeah,
maybe?
Like that's the dirty.
Okay. All right.
Earthy.
Yeah, earthy.
That's
thank
what I'm thinking.
You.
Earthy
there
is
you go.
The earthy is what I'm thinking.
That
about.
Is exactly what I was thinking.
It's not
of
bad.
First two. Yeah,
it's not bad at all. I mean, I don't know what you would eat it for.
It well because when it's cooked, it brings okay. out a whole other kind of mushroomy or truffly
all right,
flavor.
All right.
So apparently, Rick Bayless might be carrying this or cooking this in some of his restaurants ooh. Because it is a rare delicacy. And so, Justin, you get one of the very first local taste of the Oro Negro Cuitlacoche.
Cuitlacoche, I'll yeah. take it. All right, it's yeah. good. Luisa Chu from Chicago Tribune, food reporter, of course. Chewing, the podcast you can find at chicagotribune.com/dining. Good to see you.
Good
and
see you.
Looking forward to the next podcast that comes out with you and Monica Ang.
Thanks, Justin.